This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another comics related episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host Josh Trumbo, and with me as always is the pro Rich Early. Rich, so I don't know much about what we're actually talking about today, so it was hard to come up with adjectives that were relevant. So that's where that came from.
You did good. We're all pros here. Darren and I for sure are comics pros.
Oh, absolutely you are.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
I'm good. Thank
Darren
you.
Darren Gregson, everybody. So, hello. Yeah, we're here to talk comic books and our experiences recently at the annual Comics Pro meeting. Comics Pro is a retailer trade organization, specifically, obviously, for comic and hobby shop owners. Although, Darren, like most people we met there, I didn't really meet like a game store owner primarily, right? Like everybody, people did games, but they were all comic people.
That's right.
First, and then game people second. So I don't know. That in and of itself was interesting, and you know, like so that was in Portland, Oregon. It was about a month ago. Josh, when's the last time you flew on an airplane?
Last time I flew on an airplane would have been a year ago, November. When my family and I went down to Florida to go to Disney World.
Did you know you got to give those guys your shoes?
I did, actually. I got mine back. Did they give you yours back, Rich? Yeah. Or did you just give it to them and they just shooed you onto the plane?
I guess I got mine back, but I
that was unexpected.
Yeah, I hadn't flown for like 30 years. So.
Oh, yeah, your belt, your shoes, take all your electronics out. And
yeah, I gave
everything.
Them my pants.
You went above and beyond.
Sure, you know, why not?
I'm sure they appreciated that.
Yeah.
We did get a personal escort after you did that. So we were
yeah. So, anyway.
So are you on the no-fly list now? Is that the moral of the story?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I've owned Paradox. We're going into our 25th year trying to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And I have never attended a retailer event in, you know, like 23 years. There was a Diamond Comic Distributors, who is the world's only, well, not only, but, you know, basically the monopoly of comic distribution, especially for single-issue comics. And they had an event in Minneapolis in 1995, 94, 95. And that was really cool because I met Chris Claremont there. I met Neil Gaiman there.
Oh, wow.
One of my only stories that I have to tell about meeting anybody is having lunch with Neil Gaiman at that thing. So, which is a true story and was
for the first time in my life, I'm envious of you, Rich.
Yeah. well, thank you, Josh. So, yeah, it was really cool. He handed us pictures of this gazebo he was building. And so, anyway.
That's a weird thing to just have on hand.
Yep.
It's like, hey, guys, let's talk about some comic books. Also,
yeah,
I'm sure you're into gazebos,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because they wouldn't have been on his phone, would they? They would have been actual prints.
Yeah.
Also, back in the 90s, we used to go to the Chicago Comic Con. We retailed at the Chicago Comic Con before it was bought by Wizard World in, like, 1997. They might have just been Wizard still, Wizard Entertainment. But many of you might be familiar with Wizard World, who has run that event in Minneapolis the first weekend in May for several years now. Not this year. I think they're gone now because the company's bankrupt.
that would do it.
Like a lot of companies. So,
got dark real fast.
Not me knock on the wood that's under here. But yeah, buy Toys R Us. Nice to know you. So,
yeah. Yeah, I haven't checked to see how their liquidation sales are.
Yeah, and then Barnes & Noble, like, what's going to go on there? I mean, because they restructured, they got, you know, no more full-time people and froze all
really?
That. And, well, they told all their existing full-time people that they no longer were going to hire any more full-time positions. But then they also then, a month later, fired all their full-time positions.
Jeez,
so their staff now is like all, and I don't know what that means, maybe 32 hours and not 40. Like, I'm not exactly sure. I know it's a big cost-cutting move, but I don't know that means they're not, you know, profitable or doing well. It's just a change in business structure.
Right.
But I have seen lots of people in the comics industry already referring to it as a post-Barnes & Noble world, which I don't know what that means. You know, that seems
Seems like a really bad tagline for a movie.
Yeah.
In a post Barnes and Noble world, one man
stands alone. But yeah, so we'll see. It's something to watch. There's something going on there for sure. Again, whether it's just them becoming more profitable or there is actually a serious problem, I don't know. You know, I mean, because like, I mean, I've said for a while now that like my number one competitor in Fargo-Moorhead is Barnes and Noble. I mean, that store. You know, they, especially after they ripped out their CD section and made a comic book store, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what they are. And I don't even like competition is not even the right word. I don't mean it like I don't see really. I mean, I used to see people as like good, bad competitor, evil, you know, whatever. But like it's all part of one big pie. You know, we're all working towards the same cause. You know, if things are going well, we're all making money. And if it's not, then we're not. And we should I'd rather see us all working together. You know, like or whatever. It's just interesting that that's what they've become, you know.
What's kind of interesting with that also is it seems like that's a trend in storytelling that has happened as time has gone on as well, you know, where it used to be there was very distinct lines between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now it's like, well, he's the bad guy, but his motives, like he's doing it for the right reasons, but he's doing it the wrong way. You know, it's almost like
you're right. We've become more sophisticated in how we think about or tell a story. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as we've talked about repeatedly, I mean, you know, The Last Jedi versus A New Hope, you know, illustrates mm-hmm. like how different storytelling is today than it was, you know, then. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, we're sidetracking. I apologize for sidetracking a little bit and talking about Barnes and Noble. But
I'm sure they appreciate the shout out.
They probably do. Yeah,
so. They're all listening.
Yeah, to our every word. but yeah, so Darren and I made a trek to Portland, Oregon, and it was a twofold expedition. Our inspiration for going was to go to Comics Pro, but fortunately for us, the Image Expo was taking part the day before. And Darren, what's the Image Expo, if you wouldn't mind explaining that to people?
So I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, Image basically ran a one-day event that was their own, you know, expo, con, whatever, where they announced like basically 10 to 20 new books for that were upcoming, mainly for that year. It's kind of grown over the last few years. Last year they didn't actually have one because they moved to Portland, but this year they had one in Portland where they announced, you know, several new books. But while you're there, you know, there's creators there. There's, you know, there's lots of cool, like, merchandise and just, like, you know. So it basically starts off with the publisher, Eric Stevenson. He makes a keynote speech, talks about the industry for the last year or so and what his thoughts are, which is always interesting. I mean, even before I knew I was going there, I'd listened in the past. I you can listen to them on YouTube or, you know, there's notes on, say, on the sites. It's, you know, he's a guy that I do admire, and I agree with a lot of what he says. So
yeah, well, I mean, the most talked about DoxCast ever is the DoxCast where Brad Meissner, Brian Hellebang, and I did a podcast to talk about Eric Stevenson's keynote, I think, at that 2014 Image Expo.
Yeah.
And we ended up telling everybody they should play board games instead of buy comics for 45 minutes, which was, and I mean, I think in a good way. By the end, we were in a good place, but it was just sort of like the way that episodes were turned out. So. But Darren, I mean, yeah. The thing that I didn't realize about Image Expo was the opportunity that we had. I mean, yep. There were, I don't know if there were 200 attendees.
I mean, that they had a room laid out. I looked behind, we were pretty near the front, and I looked behind us, and there were, you know, a lot of the chairs were empty. So, you know, I'm not sure about the attendance, but that gave us opportunity.
Yeah.
To, you know, speak to a lot of people very quickly. I mean,
was the other thing is I didn't realize the level of talent that was going to be there. I didn't get it.
Yeah,
going in, it just didn't occur to me. So
no, I mean they had a few guests announced, but there was always surprises. There were even guests that weren't like on the Facebook page or the website before we got there. They just turned up. Like it appeared to that they just turned up. So it was really good. I mean. For me personally, it was Todd McFarlane was on the number one of my list, and it was Robert Kirkman was going to be there as well.
Yeah, Josh, have you heard of a show called The Walking Dead?
Is it? That's some kind of like an exercise program, right? That's early morning thing.
Nice. So
yes, I have heard of The Walking Dead. Right?
Yeah, I mean, our listeners should all know it was a comic book before it was anything else. Although, and by the way, this is a minor pet peeve, but it drives me crazy. Before episodes of The Walking Dead, I don't know if they do this now, but it used to say, based on the graphic novel by Robert Kirkman, right? Well, no, it wasn't a goddamn graphic novel. It was a single-issue comic that then was collected as trade paperbacks. They're not even graphic novels. Graphic novels refer to an original story, not a trade paperback, which is a collection of previously published single-issue comics. So anyway, that irritated me because, you know...
Is you're a big nerd?
Well, no, because instead of... The implication to me was instead of driving people towards a comic book shop, they were driving people towards Barnes & Noble or Amazon, right? And so just... I mean, you're being dishonest. That's not what it is, you know? And here's... Again, with all these things, you get these opportunities as companies to promote, to build the value in your entire chain. And when you choose not to do that and to be dishonest about what you're doing, it's frustrating. So anyway, so I told Robert Kirkman that and punched him.
After we'd got the book signed.
And now you're not allowed back in Oregon.
Nope.
No fly list. Never allowed in Oregon.
No.
But yeah, no. I mean, Todd McFarlane, Robert Kirkman, J.H. Williams III was there. That one was really cool, in my opinion.
That was someone who was not announced, and we were like, oh my goodness.
It's J.H. Williams. You know, so.
It's fangirling.
And then just a ton of people. And we met nearly everybody that was there, people who work for Marvel at the same time as they're doing these Image projects, people who are starting out, a woman from Italy who's having her work published here for the first time, a woman who recently did a book called Bingo Love, which is
T. Franklin.
T. Franklin. I mean, that was amazing. She was awesome. You know, I would love to bring her here in conjunction. What I'd like to do is I would like to get like all the women's studies professors in Fargo-Moorhead to go in with me and get her here for some kind of like cultural event with T. Franklin. I think it'd be awesome. So.
Yeah, I mean, and the best thing about this, like I said, the attendance was quite small. So this is not like San Diego or anywhere like that. And, you know, Robert Kirkman, Todd McFarlane, these are big names. And they're just walking around. You know.
Well, Darren walked up when we so the nice thing was not only were the lines weren't going to be that long anyway, but we were kind of in the room where the signings were before the general attendees just because we were like
retailers
and whatnot. So we got to kind of go in first or whatever. So like getting in those first lines, and then we butted in line for Nick Patara, which we didn't mean to do.
Because it wasn't super clear where we needed to be.
Yeah.
So we kind of just, I mean, I mean, for me personally, Todd McFarlane, just getting to interact with Todd McFarlane, just to speak to him.
He's a character.
He is. I knew that, though, but he's a very nice, he comes across as very nice.
Look, if Todd McFarlane's listening, I'll never say a bad word about him. That man, especially in the 90s, made my business a ton of money. And I used to buy directly from his brother, who had a shop in Washington State called Spider's Web. And being his brother, he basically got to be the direct seller for Todd McFarlane toys to the comic book industry. So we skipped around Diamond at that time and bought directly from him, and that was awesome. And we used to bring in cases and cases and cases of Spawn and Wetworks and, you know, all those different figures that they did back in the day. So meeting him was really cool. Like the one thing, like, he's a businessman. Like he's a showman and a businessman, and I think as a creator, the day that he's really concerned about how good his product is kind of gone. And I mean that's fine. Like I kind of respect that. Like I kind of respect that he evolved out of like being this great artist and doing all these things and had this vision. He built this toy company, he built this brand, and he's published 284 straight issues of Spawn despite the problems. Not straight, because there was one issue that came out before the previous issue came out.
I think that was like 1920.
Yep, 1920. So, but I mean, that's impressive. And it's gone through its ups and downs, but he's bringing it. You know, he's directing a Spawn live action movie on his own, and now he's putting, you know, bringing the comic back to you, trying to make it prominent again, and bringing in a lot of people to do all that. I mean, hey, good for him. I wish I had had that amount of success in this industry as he has.
Yeah, I mean, we listened to one of the our favorite. We were listening to a panel that he was on, and he was he announced all these new books, and someone asked him, why are you bringing out these books now? And he just basically said, because I've got a movie coming out.
And it was honest and funny. I mean, it was just, you know,
So,
you know, and he said, like, if I had put out this book 2 years ago, would any of you have cared? You know, I'm like, no. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Or like at the end of the day, we watched a panel with Robert Kirkman. And I mean, Kirkman's very, very intelligent, very funny, very fast, you know, real sharp guy.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's up on the stage and a couple of fans had gone up and tried to get his autograph. He ended up stepping down and signing their stuff. And then all of a sudden there's a line of, you know, 20 people.
Yeah.
There weren't many people there by the end of the day. And so we got up there and he's promoting a new book. Number one is out. It's called Oblivion Song. It's very good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And he can really write a scene. Turns out that guy can write a scene. but, you know, we got up there. What they did to promote it is, because he's Robert Kirkman, he's paid for everybody. He's paid for the art, the colorist, the inker. And that's normally the problem with monthly comics is you're paying everybody, so you got to get the comic out to get your money back, right?
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman doesn't need to do that. So he's got 12 issues done.
Yeah.
So he sent out to the top, like, 1,500 retailers in the country a finished graphic novel of the first 6 issues.
Yep.
So we had ours with us because we knew he was going to be there. And we brought it up to him, and they'd been joking during the day about people selling them on eBay. So Darren holds it out for him to sign, and I said, yeah, like, we didn't meet our minimum bid on eBay, so we're hoping your signature will get us over the top.
Yeah. I was a little bit embarrassed about that, but, you know, he took it with a good humor.
Yep.
So it was quite funny. So
anyway, yeah. Josh, have you ever been to one of these conventions where you got to meet a bunch of cool people that you admired?
I've been to a bunch of, well, mostly the local conventions, you know, and got to meet, lots of cool people through that. And especially, you know, the fun thing is with the Kamikaze Snowmen, of course, we get to host and do various panels and things. So we get a chance to really interact with the guests in some of those ways. And that's a heck of a lot of fun.
And I was jealous. You and Brad were interviewing Phil Hester while we were in Portland.
Say,
I really wanted to meet him.
We got to interview Phil Hester, and he was great. A lot of great stuff to say. If you haven't listened to that podcast, it's up on our website and iTunes. So that was a lot of fun. And I was going to say, several years back now, we went in, down to Convergence and got to perform there and do some stuff. I'm blanking on names, but Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy of Mystery Science Theater fame and Riff Tracks were there, and we were doing something, and one of our friends came down and said, hey, they're just finishing up. If you run up, you can still catch them. You know, they were like signing things or, you know, whatever. And so I ran up and just quickly shook their hands, just said, thank you, and ran back down. It was it was a great little experience.
Yeah. Perfect, yeah. I mean, that was kind of like our day, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Just running around and trying to jump in lines.
Imagine like, you know, Christmas Day or your birthday, and it's just like, go, presents constantly, and just that excitement, you know, like a child for me it was, you know. I think the highlight for the Image Expo, and I don't know whether you agree, but was Nick Patara, because we accidentally pushed in line, and he was courteous, and he spoke to us, and throughout the day he draws the Manhattan Projects with Jonathan Hickman, one of Rich's, you know, favorite books, and he was talking about his favorite character, and he was, you know, he was going to do a drawing for Rich, so we throughout the day we kept asking him, and he said, oh yeah, I'll do this, but every time you saw him, He was drawing. He was busy. When he was on panels, he was drawing. He was so busy. And
he was the only yeah. guy there. He worked all day. Yeah. All that guy did was work. Like, yeah. He must, like, absolutely love what he does, yeah. you know? Not only did he probably have a deadline, he draws the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles covers. Yeah. And he has a great story about that on another podcast about why he is able to do yeah. that. Yeah. So he basically bid to do it for absolutely nothing, basically. And people told him he was crazy because, like, why would you do that for nothing? Well, now he's like the highest paid cover artist at IDW because
he did such, and he did his, yeah. you know, he put his best effort into it as yep. well. He didn't just knock something out.
Yep. So yeah, yeah. no, he is really awesome. Yeah. I loved him. I hope we're able to get him on a podcast. I mean, that was one of the reasons yeah. we went. We passed yeah. on business cards. Yeah. We had to build our relationships yeah. a little further. I mean, we met 15 or 20 creators, but yeah. I mean, Todd McFarlane's not going to come on our podcast, but you know, like,
I don't know. He has a movie coming out.
He does. That's true. But I mean, beyond that, like, the thing is, you know, you have to go out and you have to build these yeah. friendships. You just meet them once and that's it. And so, like, one thing before we talk about Comics Pro, Darren and I and now Matt from the store also are going to Chicago in a week and a half to C2E2, which is the Chicago Comics Entertainment Expo. Yeah. But the 2 days before it is Diamond Comics Distributors. Again, we talked about them. They're holding one of two retailer summits they have during the year. They do one in Chicago and they do one in Baltimore later in the year. And for perspective, Comics Pro had about 150 to 175 retailers at it. There's expected to be about 450 retailers at the Diamond Summit. So it's going to be much bigger. Yeah. yeah. We're not going to get the personal experience that we were able to get, I bet. But the cool thing is, I mean, some of the people we met before are there.
Yep, that's
at
right.
At Chicago, and I think it's important for us to try to stop by and yep. reinforce that. But then on top of it now, it's a whole new level of creator. Tom King is going to be there. Brian Michael Bendis is going to be there. I mean, and the big thing, and Darren is mm-hmm. beside himself over this, is that not only is Jim Lee going to be there, but he's going to be at the DC presentation to the Diamond Comics retailers.
Yeah.
so... I mean, this would be the number one thing we have to try to do is see if we can get you a Jim Lee autograph.
So, yeah.
Like, this, you know,
yeah.
So,
I've not been able to sleep very well since I
but C.B. Cebulski, the new yeah. editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, is going to be there. This is a big deal. Like, Steve Jeppy, who owns Diamond Comic Distributors, he is one of the biggest comic collectors in the world. He has a museum dedicated to comics as well. He's giving the keynote speech on Friday morning, and then it sort of overlaps into the comic convention. So we get to do all the retailer stuff, but then we get to go have fun at the convention as well. So it's going to be great. Matt's going to be like, I've never heard of literally any of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he doesn't tell everybody he hasn't read a comic book before, that yeah. will be okay. We'll be okay.
And the other, well, I said to Matt, like, hey, you want to get your picture taken with Alan Tudyk? And he's like, who's that? So I'm like, okay. Oh. So, yeah.
How does he still have a job here?
That's,
yeah. That's the guy from Serenity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even I know that.
Wash from Firefly, yeah.
And
so,
yep. Voice of K2SO. Yeah. So many other great yeah. things. My goodness.
He's, oh, Matt.
What a gig. He's got, so $60 you get an autograph, $70 you get a photo op, $130 you get a Firefly photo op with him.
Oh. Oh, nice.
I should wear my Mal Reynolds brown coat and, like, go for the 100. Yeah, anyway. So. But, yeah, so anyway, back to the event. So, like, that was comic. Where that was Image Expo was day one. So, like, most of you, I mean, a lot of people have been to, you know, a trade show for work, right? I mean, Josh, I don't know if you've ever had a job where you've been sent to Minneapolis or anywhere, right, for a 2-day convention, or, I mean, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what Comics Pro is. It's not any different. It just happens to be you get to hang out with, like, DC Comics and Marvel Comics and stuff, but it's the same, you know. So it's 3 days of workshops, and it's grueling, and by the end of the, I mean, you're there at 8 a.m. because they're giving you breakfast, and the panels are starting and all this sort of stuff, and you're done at 9 o'clock, you know, and you did that. We did that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday morning, but we had to get our plane by
yeah.
noon on Saturday, yeah. and then there's parties at night. I mean, it's 9 o'clock, and now the party's starting up. And it was like Boom Studios was buying everybody drinks one night. Dark Horse had a reception another night. Image Comics had a big party at a local bar a few blocks away on Wednesday night. And I
oh,
mean,
wow.
yeah, you know, and it's just like boom, boom, boom. I had the flu, so it was my first flight in like 30 years. There was this 2-hour time difference. I had the flu, and we didn't go to the parties.
No.
But, which sucks, you know. It's. No. But I would bring – the thing is I would almost bring – 3 people, maybe even 4, and have like teams. I'd have like the daytime team and then the nighttime, like, okay, go drink and make friends with people.
I'm going to volunteer for the nighttime team.
Yep, you got it. Sweet. You know, so yeah. So, but it's true, you know, like that would be, it would almost be the way to do it. Cause like those, we were very tired, especially like the second or to third day.
That's just how I am anyway. I was fine. I didn't have the flu or anything. That's just me. Okay. Get to 8, 9 o'clock and I'm like, I want to go to bed.
But even during the day, you know, like when some of the smaller publishers were doing their presentations, I mean, we were tapping our finger. Like, so Darren looked at me at one point and said, the first thing we went to was great. We went to a social media presentation by a guy named John Dudas. And like, Josh, I've already talked to you about some of this, you know, directly too. But, you know, like, we didn't know what we were in for. We didn't know if these panels were just going to be by people who are like, so you should use Facebook to promote your store, you know, or right, like.
Facebook, like the Necronomicon?
Yeah. So, but this guy is like, oh, so Yelp picked me as a top 100 small business last year, and I'm on a Facebook small business council and get flown on private jet to Facebook headquarters every so often. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so, and then he's just, that guy info dumped more stuff. I wish I'd recorded it. I wish I'd have written it down. The 20 things I remember from it, there was probably at least another 20 that I could use that I don't remember, you know. Like, he should write a book. Like, seriously. He was amazing, you know. But anyway, I don't even know what I was going to say. Well, so we just jumped right in, I guess. Like, there was a point to this. And so, oh, no, so Darren at the end of it goes, I can't tell. Were you bored through that whole thing? Yeah. Like, I have no idea, you know. And I said, Darren, not,
yeah,
no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say because he was so quiet.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Rich quiet?
And I couldn't read your body
language.
That's
why he, That's why he was confused.
Yeah.
So I said, Darren, you'll know if I'm bored because I will be on my phone. Okay. I auto be on my phone. So the rest of the weekend, anytime you look over, I was at my phone. You knew.
Yeah, I learned that very quickly.
There was a presentation by a guy. What was the company that makes the little models and the magazines?
I can't remember now.
Yeah, there's this. Yeah. They publish this monthly magazine, and in it, there are these little tiny models or whatever. I checked out of that one. I mean, I was web surfing for the 45 minutes the guy was talking, and it's rude as hell, and I should not do that. I'm there to listen to him and hear his presentation, and I need to get better at that. So
it's a British company, so I felt like I needed to engage with it, like, but I struggled.
Yeah. No, you're a better man than me. I did a crappy job then. Oh,
blame it on the flu.
You should tell them too. The other time I embarrassed you on the weekend. This is a good story.
Is this a dark horse
story? Yeah.
So I think it was the Thursday. No, Friday, Saturday. There was different tables set up, and you had you had to follow an order, and you'd go to different tables and to talk to so there'd be a dark horse table. There'd be Oni Press, the IDW, Marvel, etc., and other. Suppliers, like suppliers of the short boxes and all different kinds of things related to comics. So the Dark Horse one, obviously, I don't know whether everyone knows, but there's a new, I think it's called Zerix. Is it Zerix? It's a new book from Frank Miller, basically.
Xerxes,
okay. It's a prequel to 300. It's coming out in May. And, you know, they're very excited about this. In their presentation, they were talking, you know, obviously, it's a big deal in many respects. So we sat at the Dark Horse table. There's three of us, me, Rich, and another retailer. And Rich says something on the lines of, nobody cares about Frank Miller anymore. And the guy across from me, who's the representative for Dark Horse, I can't remember his name, the look on his face was like, oh gosh, I'm going to die now. I'm an embarrassment. He was like, Nobody likes Frank Miller anymore. Oh, yeah. Nobody cares about Frank Miller anymore.
What I should have said was, it's too bad this won't sell like it did 20 years ago when 300 came out. You know, that, I mean, that's what I meant. But like, yeah, no, I like, hey, nobody cares about Frank Miller anymore. So,
You were getting super in the zone, though, weren't you? That, by that point, you were like, you were rocking.
I was on, yeah. There was a stretch on Friday afternoon where I was just on fire. Like, we would sit down at a table, and I'd basically be like, all right, how the hell am I going to sell your crap? You know, like I mean, and I wasn't calling it crap, but I mean, you know, it was just challenging. I was just like, I don't want to hear your dumb presentation. Like, I don't care. Like, I want to know, like, the Valiant guy. Like, we met this really cool retailer on Wednesday night when we were picking up our stuff. They gave us all these goodies, which we have a really good story about also.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us just so much stuff all weekend long. It was awesome. In fact, when we first checked into our hotel, there was a goodie bag from Valiant Comics that included an energy drink and a Bloodshot energy drink and a Valiant shot glass and some stuff. And that was really cool. And a little thing of water. And we were like, well, that's weird. But then we get to our room and they had the same bottle of water for $3.50. So we were like, oh, thank you, Valiant.
we shared that bottle of water.
We did, actually. Yeah.
Don't you have the flu?
Yeah, we poured it out. So, oh, yeah, yeah, so. But
I just imagine you two with a couple of straws in there, you know.
But we met this guy, Brady Singh, and unfortunately, Brady is one of the retailers closing his shop in this past year. That sucks because he just seemed like an incredible guy.
Oh, yeah, he was so nice. Yep.
And he treated us. He knew we introduced ourselves as new guys and all that. And the next day, he found us, and he was so kind to us. And he introduced us to somebody from Valiant. And, you know, and I was still a little uncertain of my footing at that point. Yeah. But I said, you know, I was saying, like, boy, you know, like, we've tried the product. You guys have been great, you know. You've given us some trades and all this sort of stuff, but we just, you know, we can't move it. We can't sell a lot of copies. What do you recommend? And the guy's like, hand sell. You got to hand sell our comics and blah, 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 blah. And he had some really good points because Valiant intentionally gives a very big discount to retailers on doing things and some returnability. And so his point is, I'm offering you something nobody else is, which is your incentive to try to sell my product, right? Great pitch. Love it, right? Yep. Love talking to the guy. It was all that. But by the end of the weekend, I was so sick of that term hand sell. Like, literally every publisher wants me to spend my entire week hand selling their product, you know? I mean, it's not feasible on any planet, you know? Like, so, yeah, I mean, and, like, yeah, I mean, I know where they're coming from, but, like, from my own experience, and this is very common, we made friends with a retailer named Jen King.
Yeah.
Jen is an absolutely beautiful, wonderful woman and a terrific retailer. And she made me so comfortable. She spent half an hour with me on Wednesday afternoon at Image Expo. Yep. We were brand new. We didn't know what we were doing. We hadn't talked to anybody, basically. And Jen was just so kind. And we've communicated since then. But, what was the point? What was I going to say? Crap.
I don't know, but you better come up with it soon. No, your fiance is watching.
Yeah, no kidding. So, no. But we met them. We met all these retailers who were in all these different stages of growth that I've been through in my 25 years. You know, and like there's a wonderful woman in Bismarck right now too, Leslie Froelich, who is running a new comic shop with her father, who owns Cards and More in Bismarck, and she's now got like a third of his space selling comics. And so they're all in these positions where they're still one-on-one with all their customers. This is what I was going to talk about. Was like, and Jen King isn't, she's kind of dealing with some of the things I am, right? But like you get to this point, the way that a comic shop was always envisioned was we would be the bartender to the 20 to 40 comic customers who would come through the door. And it was like that at Paradox in the 90s and a lot of the 2000s. We knew everybody. You know, when the counters were up by the front window, if you were walking up to the store, we already had your comics pulled. Like, we were asking how your kids were doing, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And it's not like we don't do that. I don't mean that. But, like, as we grew in the early 20-teens, it did get to a point, for me especially, where I just couldn't do that. And I didn't know everybody in a one-on-one way, but man, that is the backbone of retailing. Josh, like, you know this, like, the community you found here or at CoreCon or at wherever, that's always what you find, right? Is that personal connection.
Oh yeah, no, that's one of the best things about doing the conventions like we do, is that, I mean, you can't just go and do your event and then go to your room and sleep for a while and then come back and do the next event. You've got to be out there. Those are the best guests. That's what I love doing, you know, when I get to be in that capacity, is just, you get out there and you talk to people and you just enjoy it, and someone's like, hey, we're playing this game, and you're like, sure, let's do it, and, you know, or, hey, there's this panel going on, oh, let's go check that out, you know, and you get to know that community, and, you know, I've met so many awesome people that way, and just had such wonderful, fun experiences, and that's, you know, one of the great things about a convention, and one of the great things about the, you know, the local comic store, but you have to be willing to seek that out, too. You know, tabletop nights, at least very much used to be that. Now, you know, it's wavered and whatnot, and I don't want to get dealing with all that in the middle of a comics podcast, because we are getting close to the end of our time here. But, you know, it used to be you'd come in and you'd have some of your games, and there'd be other people playing games. You'd just be like, you know, hey, we're playing this. And you come down and meet some people and play their game, and then you'd have people come over and play your game, and, you know, and it's fantastic. I mean, that's that face-to-face time with people is it's wonderful.
And yeah, and I mean, and that's, I mean, another thing that we did, we met retailers from Texas, from Kansas, from Minnesota, from Montana, from Portland, from Washington, D.C., from Baltimore, from a guy from Toronto. We traveled around the tables Darren was talking about with a crazy old guy from Pittsburgh. Yeah. So he was quite the character, and he was, oh, I've done this all before. At one point, I referred to him as a wedding crasher because I thought he wasn't really a retailer. He was like, there for the goodies, and you know, so yeah. But you know, yeah, and so we met, I mean, we met everybody. We met Diamond, DC's and DC Comics entire sales team was there. I've had a friend, Stuart Schreck, of over 15 years, who works at DC, and I've never met him in person before, so that was awesome. But like, yeah, he just came up to us because he recognized me, you know, and so walked right up to us, and like, it was awesome. It was great. I mean, people were just terrific, you know, so yeah. Retailers were great. Boy, I mean, I tell you though, like, you know, we went for two reasons. We wanted to meet a guy named Stu Colson, who is behind a big project he calls Comic Hub. It's a point of sale system, but it's also a customer app. It's a way for customers to order their comics from us, to manage their own subscriptions, like the whole thing, right? But the unique thing about it is, by also being a point of sale system, it's a complete product from every end. You know, most of them are just e-commerce that you have to like then still transfer data into your own point of sale system, right? So we wanted to meet Stu because we really believe him. Stu's from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Stu's owned a comic book shop for quite a long time, but he's from New Zealand, and so he was coming up to Comics Store to, you know, to sell his product to people. And I mean, he was awesome and a snappy dresser, as Darren
was. Yeah,
out,
so. His wife was called Sue, so it was Stu and Sue.
Stu and Sue Colson. Yeah, yeah. So
are they close to Mordor? Or
yeah, we didn't ask. No.
I'm sure he gets that way more than he wants.
But yeah, kind of. I mean, kind of trying to wrap up. I mean, Darren, I'm going to ask you in a minute for like your highlights of Comics Pro, but meeting all those people and realizing, you know, how much like these people are just people, you know, not just the creators, but just the people working at the tables. Like Darren was alluding to, there was this stage that, like, at first Darren was doing a lot of the talking, and then I don't know, like a third of the way into the tables, like something just caught fire in me, and I just was just in fuego for the rest of the thing. And like, I met I know a lot of people, so there were some gaming people there, so I met people that I know who know people I know, and things like that, you know. And so like, we, in fact, there was a table for a game distributor called GTS, and they're a direct competitor with some of my best friends in the industry in the distribution level. So I was giving them their names and talking about them, and I said, all right, here's the deal. You got your 10 minutes with me or whatever, right? Like, tell me why I should leave them and come to you, you know? Like, but, I mean, it was a blast, right? Like, the guy was like, well, you're probably not going to be like, yeah, I know, but whatever, pitch me, you know? Like, and he did. He did a great job, and he was a super nice guy, and I'm not with them or anything. But, you know, like, but I have a really good feeling about that company, you know, because that happened, right? Yeah. And I feel like I know a face to that company, right?
Yeah.
And then the next guy was, like, a supply company, and he is, the guy who owns it is really good friends with a bunch of the same reps that I know. And so we were talking about them and kind of making fun of them. And, you know, like, it was awesome, you know. And, like, I was like, all right, like, why should I buy direct from you? You know, and, like, stuff like that, you know. And it was just – it was great. And I – like, Saturday when we were waiting for a shuttle to go to the airport, you know, I said, geez, Darren, like, we were talking about the Dark Horse thing. But I said, boy, I hope I didn't embarrass us or whatever, you know. And, like, Darren was like, you know what? Yeah, we left it all on the table. You know, yeah. Like, we could be standing here – you said we could be standing here right now complaining about all this stuff and having said nothing.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that. And the big one was the biggest disappointment. We wanted to see David Gabriel from Marvel Comics. He's either the president or vice president of sales and marketing. And he runs the Facebook group. Everybody I know says he's a great guy, but he was involved in some big controversy last year that we talked about on the podcast. And as I've come to understand it through Jen King, the controversy is actually a pretty big misquote of what David Gabriel actually said. Ah. You know, but I wanted to say to him, you know, my Marvel sales are down over 50% from 2 years ago. You know, I wanted to talk to him in person. Well, he was gone Saturday morning, which is very disappointing. I mean, he probably had somewhere to be, right? But but we talked to his number two, and we talked very pointedly, very direct. Yeah. Like, I didn't let her off the hook for a second.
She did her job well.
She did her job very well. Noelle Webster, right?
I can't remember her name.
Noelle, and I apologize, Noelle, but she was very kind and very responsive. And, you know, we were talking about legacy. We've all sat in here and talked about legacy and what a disappointment it was. And she said, you know, like, we weren't trying to be disingenuous. We all really believed in it. You know, we really wanted it to be something successful, you know. And she, another thing we've talked about on the podcast here is Axel Alonso being fired from Marvel. And she and someone else very much alluded to how difficult things used to be to work at Marvel. And so you got this very direct impression that the offices under Axel Alonso were very different than they are now, you know. I mean, is there a solution for Marvel? We can talk about that coming up in more podcasts, right? But, you know, I want to hear Darren's thoughts about Comics Pro, but, you know, for me, it was a great step into a larger world. If what you're doing in your business isn't working for you the way that it used to, then you need to do something different. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. And we have got, I mean, we have got so many ideas. We want to bring something to you guys all that's it is what we've been doing, but it's more than we've ever been doing. And we have a guiding principle behind everything the shop is about. We are working our way towards how do we implement that? How do we go from what we've been doing to abiding by this new thing? And you know, I've been thinking a lot about what Kylo Ren says in The Last Jedi: you have to kill the past. You know, or let the past die, you have to kill it, right? Whatever the exact quote is. And that is really resonating with me. There's a quote from Dany from Game of Thrones and Arya Targaryen. She says, "If I turn back, I'm lost." And those two quotes are really big to me right now. They both just speak to what I'm thinking about and talking about and where I want to go with Paradox. And, you know, like, I can tell we should do a whole podcast about it, you know.
Yeah.
So, but Darren.
Okay. Well, I mean, there were some great creators and some great retailers and presenters at Comics Pro. I think the general feeling I got was we're all working together to make the industry better for us and for customers and for the publishers as well. That was the overall, you know, overall feeling I had, was that, you know, we're all working together. There was no like resentful, you know, feeling at all, you know, because we're in the same business. My goodness, I've forgotten what I was going to say.
I think that depends on the publisher a little bit, whether there was resentment.
Yeah,
But generally, yeah.
But I got totally to meet lots of great people, lots of nice people. There are opportunities presented themselves for the store and for us on personal level that we would not have got if we hadn't have been there. It's going to allow us to take some risks in what we do stock. Sorry, to take less of a risk to stock some, you know, sort of more broader books, for example. I won't say too much, but, you know, we're working on some ideas to get like
major changes coming.
Yeah, some great stuff.
So,
and those opportunities were just kind of presented to us, and we were like, oh my gosh, we didn't know this was here. So, There you go.
Yeah, and we're going to do more of that in Chicago in 2 weeks. So, yeah. And I think, you know, Chicago will be stepping into a bigger world. I mean, I think in some ways, now that we did this once, we have a little idea on what to expect from some of the things. But we're going to see, I mean, we're going to see the top dogs, you know, Dan Didio and Jim Lee and C.B. Cebulski. You know, and I think that is going to be different than the people we did see here. So, so closing story. There's a lot I want to talk about. My head is just rolling with all the ideas and things we came back with and everything. But like, Darren, so we brought one check on bag.
Oh, that's right, because we planned that we knew we were going to get some freebie stuff, like some promotional items and things, variants that were, you know, limited to that event. We weren't sure how much, so we was like, well, we'll just we thought it might be overkill. I took one checked on bag. I had some clothes in it, but it was for the most part it was empty. So that bag soon filled up.
Well, yeah. So the bag's, you know, it's $25 for a check-in bag up to 50 pounds or whatever. Yeah. And so like we're packing it up Saturday morning, and Darren's like, I think this is more than 50 pounds. So, like I picked it up and I was like, probably it's hard to tell. You know, let's just see what happens, right? And so we actually thought about literally just leaving some of the stuff in the hotel room because there were a lot of duplicates or things like that. Like, but we were like, oh, screw it. You know, like maybe the extra check-on fee will just be another $25 and we can just sell this stuff. It won't matter, right? Yeah. So we get to the airport and there's a self-checkout thing and we get our tickets and then we're going to check our bag in. And our bag is like 64 pounds, I think. And guess what? When you go over 50 pounds, it's an additional $100 to check your bag. We're like, mm-mm. No. So
we wheeled the bag over to a little seating area, and we're going through everything and pulling out and just putting things in the trash. You were like, I don't know what to, like, should we just hand this to somebody?
Yeah, in the middle of PDX, Portland International Airport.
Rich was like, it was like we put something next to like a trash, like a bin.
Yep.
And Rich said, I'll just leave this here because we weren't sure whether it would fit. I said, no, you can't just leave things in an airport and walk off. The bag was checked. And when I say the bag, when I got home, they'd gone through the bag. They checked through whatever it was. I don't know whether that's because they were watching us. As we were, you know,
probably not, but it is funny to think.
It was those Chip Kid hardcovers. It was a Chip Kid.
Diamond gave everybody who attended this like I don't know $100 hardcover probably.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
But it was gigantic, right? It's like, what are we supposed to do with it, right? So they were each probably 7 pounds. I mean, they were close to the whole 14 or whatever the overage was by themselves. But we had no way to weigh it. We didn't know, right? So, and those were the two we'd been joking the whole weekend about. Like, no one cares. We don't want these. No one. We can't sell these. No one wants them, you know. And so those are the first things to go into the trash. Yeah,
we saved one. I've got one on the shelf now.
So
if you want part of that story, you can buy the Chip Kid hardcover.
And you can be part of the part of history.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, we have more podcasts tonight. So you are listening to the DocsCast. We about once a month record multiple episodes. We release them every Monday on iTunes and on our website, paradoxcnc.com. Again, I'm your host, Richard Early, with my co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with our guest for this one, Darren Gregson. And we've got a whole bunch of great episodes recording tonight, including a game designer who is going to be very exciting, whose name that I don't know.
I have no idea.
You're motioning to Darren. He has no idea.
Oh, sorry, John.
Jerry Hawthorne will be joining us a little bit later tonight.
Mice and Mystics and Stuff Fables, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And others as well.
Yep,
so.
Yep. So, so tune in. We talk pop culture and all kinds of things. Goal is to start having every episode be guest-laden, and that was one of the reasons we went to Portland. We have a lot of things in the works.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to see guests. It's just, you know, it takes time to make a change. You know, we want to make the change right this second.
Yeah.
That's just not how it works. So.
It does. Like we're saying, people are busy. You know, we have to work out their schedules as well as ours. So.
Yep. But, you know, we have a good sense of how we're going to do that and present things to them. And it's going to be awesome. So. But anyway, we got to make room for our next guests.
Yeah,
so,
get out of here, Darren.
Get this show keep the show moving. So, Darren, thanks for coming with me on my first trip in like 30 years.
You're welcome. It was amazing. Thank you for inviting me.
This next one's going to be even better.
It is.
And there's no turning back. So,
yeah, Jim Lee.
So.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us live or later as it's been recorded and released. And we will see you on the next DocsCast.
This was a DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time.